and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon him, his companions, his household, and those who follow him until the day of judgment. Amen. We are still talking in the chain of what did the world lose due to the fall of Muslim Ummah. And we spoke before about the implication of the fall of Muslim Ummah and why it is important for the Muslim Ummah to remain as a righteous superpower leading the entire humanity in the path of righteousness. And then we spoke about what did the world gain due to the mission of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how much light and righteousness did he bring to this world because of his effort and because of his work sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now today we are going to continue the subject inshallah. If we look around, we will see that Muslims are no longer, or the Muslim Ummah is no longer a righteous superpower. And what's the reason behind that? Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished the Muslims for losing the righteousness or giving up the righteousness. When we give up our righteousness, when we give up our faith and righteousness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a punishment. And that punishment is taking away from us the status of being a superpower. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want us to be other than a righteous superpower. So we lost this status, and then we ended up in the tail of the caravan of humanity. And instead of being the leaders of the caravan of humanity in the path of righteousness, we became in the tail of the caravan of humanity, following humanity and collecting whatever comes out of the end of the humanity. And that's our current status. And you might wonder and say, wait a minute, Allah is punishing us for losing our righteousness. But how much righteousness did we lose versus how much righteousness others are having? Why? We make mistakes, and we made mistakes, yes, but others have made, other non-Muslim nations have made much worse mistakes, and they might not have any kind of righteousness at all. Not to mention, you know, that we are doing, you know, at least we have something, or we are holding it to. So how come we are being punished, but they are not being punished? And how come, you know, we are actually being punished and they are being rewarded? And to answer this question, let's look at a similar situation that happened during the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Battle of Uhud. The best army that you can ever think of was the Muslim army in the Battle of Uhud, made up the best leader ever, which is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the best followers ever, the best soldiers that you can ever come up with, which are the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This battle, the Battle of Uhud, the army of the Battle of Uhud was the best army that you can ever come up with. On the other hand, the other army, the Kuffar army, was the worst army that you can ever come up with, made up who idol worshippers, people who bury their baby daughters alive, people who kill each other, adulterers, and you name it, they are doing it. These are the two sides that are fighting during the Battle of Uhud. The best army that you can ever come up with, and one of the worst armies that you can ever come up with. Then Muslims made a small mistake. Well, compared to idol worshipping, compared to burying their baby daughters alive, compared to adultery, compared to the mistakes done by the non-believers, it's a small mistake. They disobeyed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet, they were slammed by a defeat. They were slammed by immediate punishment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the question is, why for such a small mistake they are being punished, and the other side for such horrible, terrible mistakes that they are not being punished? Actually, for them to get defeated, the other side had to get victory. And so it means that they are being punished, on the other side they are being rewarded. Why is that? And another similar situation during the Battle of Hunayn. When Muslims, usually before they go to any battle, they invest their trust into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100%. They keep praying and crying, and they are so worried about that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't provide them with the support, they will lose the battle. And they will spend the nights praying, and their hearts would be completely and fully connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the battle. But at the Battle of Hunayn, something else has happened. What? Muslims looked and they found that there are 12,000. So they said to themselves, wow, we will never be defeated because we have enough number. And instead of their hearts crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so desperate, crying and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they relaxed it. They started relaxing. They had so much trust that they are many and they have enough numbers and enough weapons and they are going to win the battle. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, didn't like that. So He told them the lesson that He mentioned also in the Quran, وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُمْ مُدْبِرِينَ. That on this day you invested your trust in your number and you did not invest your trust as usual in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a result Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the defeat. However, on the other side, the other army, they're doing much worse mistakes, but they are getting a victory, which is like a reward. The question is how? How can we explain that? Allah, you know, why? I mean, astaghfirullah, some people might think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not fair by doing that. But of course not. If I, in order to really understand that, let's look at the situation of a father who has a child. If this child makes a mistake, and the father completely ignores the mistake that the child did, and the father continues to support his child with money and, you know, with more, with and continues to provide him moral support and financial support and everything as though this child didn't do anything wrong, then what is going to happen is that the child is going to get the wrong message and continue to do wrong things, and the child is going to get worse. And if the dad continues to ignore the mistake and continues to provide the financial and moral support to the child, regardless of the mistakes that he did, then the child will keep going worse and worse and worse until this child reaches to the point of no return. And this is exactly what is going to happen. And in this situation, we say to the father, you are destroying your own child. You are destroying your own child. If we see a father doing such a thing, then we would go and talk to him and say, wait a minute, you are destroying your own child. You have to like exercise your parenting techniques so that you can just make him feel that, punish him or do whatever parenting things that you need to do so that you make him feel that he did something wrong, so that he would stop doing the wrong thing. And of course, if we see a father doing that, then we would go talk to this father and we would think that this father is unwise. What do you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Would He let the believers get away with a mistake? Just imagine for a minute that believers, Muslims, did win the battle of Uhud. Then, in the future, they might say, well, it's okay to disobey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember the battle of Uhud, we disobeyed him, and it was okay. It wasn't a big deal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let this founding generation, the generation responsible for founding Islam and spreading righteousness and forming the righteous superpower, Allah will never allow this generation to get away with such an understanding. So they made the mistake, they got the punishment right away. Same thing in Hunayn. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just imagine them saying, okay, we don't have to have so much trust in Allah, invest our trust and prayers with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we know we have enough numbers and we have enough weapons. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want them to get away with this understanding. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them the lesson right away to protect them and to guard them. If I love my child, I punish my child. Why? So that my child will feel that he or she did something wrong. He or she will stop and rethink and reconsider correcting him or herself and go back to the path of righteousness. And this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did to the Muslim ummah before. And this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing to the Muslim ummah now. When we give up our righteousness, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in the Quran about a concept called the concept of al-imla wa istidraj. The concept of al-imla wa istidraj, which is rewarding the people who do wrong things. What? Rewarding the people who do wrong things? Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might choose to reward the people who do wrong things. How? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا. We are rewarding them so that they can increase in their evil. And in another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. We are rewarding them for their mistakes so that they continue. They don't stop. They continue making worse and bigger mistakes. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith al-Qudsi on the tongue of His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنِّي لِذَا غَضِبْتُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِي رَزَقْتُهُ مِنْ حَرَامٍ. When I am angry with my slave, I provide to him sustenance from haram source, from unlawful source. فَإِذَا اشْتَدَّ غَضَبِي عَلَيْهِ زُدْتُ لَهُ مِنْ رِزْقِ الْحَرَامِ. And if I become even more angry with him, I provide him more sustenance from haram. حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَدْتُهُ لَمْ أُفْلَتْ. So when the time comes of his, when the time of his arrest comes, when the angel of death comes to arrest him and lock him in the, lock him up in the grave, and then from the grave, the two angels, سَائِقْ and the Shaheed, وَجَاءَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَعَهَا سَائِقٌ and Shaheed. وَزَاءَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَعَهَا سَائِقٌ وَشَهِيدٌ. The angel Sa'iq is going to arrest them and take them to the authority, to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the angel Shaheed is going to carry the records and bring it before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they are presented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are arrested first, locked in the graveyard, taken from the graveyard, presented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then locked up in hellfire. When they are arrested, they will deserve no mercy. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding them. So they qualify for zero mercy. They qualify for no mercy. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing this. And then you observe, you know, people say, okay, look at us. If you guys have more righteousness, if what you guys have is better than what we have, then look at us. We are being rewarded. We are getting better every day. We are making one victory after another. We are having more rich, comfortable life one day after another. And look at you guys, you are going downhill. You are going receiving more and more punishment day after day. Why is that? I mean, how can you explain that? How can you still claim that you have some righteousness and you are going down and we don't have any righteousness? We are getting rewarded by God and we're getting more from God. And of course, what I say just explained that. Just imagine that a dad has two brothers. One of them is doing much better than the other. One of them is far gone. He reached and he exceeded the point of no return. There is no way this guy is going to stop and turn around and make a U-turn and go back to the path of righteousness. And the other guy has some hope, still holding into some righteousness. And there is a hope that this person might stop. So the dad will punish the person that he loves, that he wants him to stop and then turn around. And the dad might reward, may or may not reward the person that he, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that there is no hope of him stopping in his evil path and going back. Just like two people are sliding downhill. One is a sliding with a much higher speed than the other. The one who is a sliding downhill but not with a high speed, with a lower speed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might choose to put a rock in front of that person. Why putting a rock in front of him? Stop him from sliding down. Now, but if Allah puts a rock in his face, he's going to slam and hit the rock, and he might get injured, and he might bleed, and he might have pain. Yes, of course. But what's the result? That this person is going to, this rock is going to stop that person and make him think and continue, and he might turn around and go back uphill. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ in Surah Al-Sajda, that we choose to punish them with the smaller punishment of this life before they arrive to the smaller, to the higher punishment of the hereafter, that they might rethink and reconsider and recorrect their path. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing one by putting a rock in front of him. How about the other one who is still sliding? That one is sliding with a very high speed. If Allah puts a rock in front of him, this rock will completely destroy him. This rock will completely destroy him because he is going at such a high speed. And there is no hope. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better that there is no hope for that person to stop and turn around. And of course, here we are not talking about individuals. We are talking about nations. Yes, it's possible for an individual to be sliding downhill in a very high speed and then break, press the brake and stop and turn around and go in the path of righteousness upward instead of going downward. Yes, it's possible. But is it possible for a nation? How likely it is for an entire nation to do that? It's very much, much harder for an entire nation than it is for an individual. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it chose to punish the Muslim ummah, take away their status of being a superpower because they gave up the righteousness. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إني داع فقول آمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين. ربي أذل الشرك والمشركين. اللهم رد المؤمنين المسلمين إلى دينك الحنيف ردا جميلا. اللهم أذن لدينك أن يحكم الدنيا يا رب العالمين. اللهم أذن لشريعتك أن تظهر وتهدي الناس وتحكم الدنيا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم مكن في أرضي لعبادك الصالحين الذين قلت عنهم الذين إن مكناهم في الأرض أقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأمروا بالمعروف ونهوا عن المنكر ولله عاقبة الأمور. عباد الله، إن الله يأمركم بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه أولا وثنى فيه بملائكته المسبحة بقدسه ثانيا، فقال جل من قائل إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن